Isobel, A Romance of the Northern Trail by James Oliver Curwood. Chapter 1. The Most Terrible Thing in the World. At Point Fullerton, 1,000 miles straight north of civilization, Sergeant William McVeigh wrote with the stub end of a pencil between his fingers the last words of his semi-annual report to the Commissioner of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police at Regina. He concluded, "I beg to say that I have made every effort to run down Scotty Dean, the murderer. I have not given up hope of finding him, but I believe that he has gone from my territory and is probably now somewhere within the limits of the Fort Churchill patrol. We have hunted the country for 300 miles south along the shore of Hudson's Bay to Eskimo Point, and as far north as Wagner Inlet. Within 3 months we have made 3 patrols west of the bay, unraveling 1,600 miles without finding our man or word of him. I respectfully advise a close watch of the patrol south of the Barren Lands." "There," said McVeigh aloud, straightening his rounded shoulders with a groan of relief, "it's done." From his bunk in a corner of the little wind and storm-beaten cabin, which represented law at the top end of the earth, Private Pelletier lifted a head wearily from his sick bed and said, "I'm bloomin' glad of it, Mac. Now maybe you'll give me a drink of water and shoot that devilish husky that keeps howling every now and then out there as though death was after me." "Nervous?" said McVeigh, stretching his strong young frame with another sigh of satisfaction. "What if you had to write this twice a year?" And he pointed at the report. "It isn't any longer than the letters you wrote to that girl of yours." Pelletier stopped short. There was a moment of embarrassing silence. Then he added bluntly, and with a hand reaching out, "I beg your pardon, Mac. It's this fever. I forgot for a moment that you two had broken." "That's all right," said McVeigh, with a quiver in his voice as he turned for the water. "You see," he added, returning with a tin cup, "this report is different. When you're writing to the big mogul himself, something gets on your nerves. And it has been a bad year with us, Pelly. We fell down on Scotty and let the raiders from that whaler get away from us. And, by Joe, I forgot to mention the wolves." "Put in a P.S.," suggested Pelletier. "A P.S. to his royal nibs," cried McVeigh, staring incredulously at his mate. "There's no use of feeling your pulse any more, Pelly. The fever's got you. You're sure out of your head." He spoke cheerfully, trying to bring a smile to the other's pale face. Pelletier dropped back with a sigh. "No, there isn't any use feeling my pulse," he repeated. "It isn't sickness, Bill, not sickness of the ordinary sort. It's in my brain, that's where it is. Think of it, 9 months up here, and never a glimpse of a white man's face except yours. 9 months without the sound of a woman's voice. 9 months of just that dead gray world out there, with the northern lights hissing at us every night like snakes, and the black rocks staring at us as they've stared for 1,000,000 centuries. There may be glory in it, but that's all. We're heroes, all right, but there's no one knows it but ourselves and the 649 other men of the Royal Mounted. My God, what I'd give for the sight of a girl's face, for just a moment's touch of her hand. It would drive out this fever, for it's the fever of loneliness, Mac, a sort of madness, and it's splitting my head." "Tush, tush," said McVeigh, taking his mate's hand. "Wake up, Pelly. Think of what's coming. Only a few months more of it, and we'll be changed. And then, think of what a heaven you'll be entering."